The DL debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen.
Welcome one and all to the DL debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. It was another packed weekend of GAA action in our county. We're going to wrap it up shortly in the company of two of the top analysts in the game, Brendan Kilcoyne and Gary McDade. Gary's on to talk up the Glen and the potential championship. It's coming. Later on the show, we're going to speak with Neil Loughran of the Irish News. We're going to take a look across the club championships in Ulster for an update there. Just the weekend, we're going to do a focus on the ladies' championship coming up now. There was championship games at the weekend there. Marion O'Donnell's going to come on to give us a roundup in the coming weeks. Termin had a big win over Buncrana at the weekend, and the senior St Unions had a very confidence building win over Maville. Our Masters were beaten in the Shield semi-final by London at the weekend 2-8 to 2-11. But looking to Donegal, as I said, Brendan Kilcoyne is here in studio with me. Gary McDade is on the phone. Lads, what a weekend's football. A great weekend. Brendan, you were out and about. What did you take in?
Yeah, I was out and about a couple of games at the weekend. I was in Milford to see Niamh Connell beat Milford on Saturday evening fairly comprehensively in the end. But to be fair, Milford put up a good fight. They were 4-3 coming up to half time. And I think it was Johnny O'Malley kicked an equaliser. And Niamh Connell just kicked on in the second half. I'd say Martin Regan gave them a bit of it at half time and looked impressive in the second half and closed it out comprehensively. And then we're out in the park yesterday and Unions really comprehensive. Like, it was men against boys. It was just different class. And, you know, Unions look good at times, but you can't judge anything on.
Yeah. You know. There's not much to read into those type of games, Bren. You just, you know, and Hardra's not going to want to hear this, but, you know, you just feel then like it's such a tough obstacle. All you want ever, I think, in football is to compete. If you can't compete, you know what I mean? It just seems like there's a few sides in this larger championship group that, you know, once you come up against the top few teams, there's no opportunity in it.
And when them top teams are at it, Brendan, they'll blow you away. And look, Ardra had no answer yesterday. And it was tough watch for St. Junan's man even watching it kind of thing. You want to see the games competitive. You want to see them tested and all that kind of thing. And, you know, Unions will leave that game yesterday. Okay, they got the 2 points on the board, but they didn't learn anything, or it was too easy. There was too much time in the ball, too much space. They destroyed the Ardra kick out. Like, you know, the Ardra found it hard to get into their attack in third and really didn't make any dent in it. And, like, I was looking at poor KJ Malloy up there, brilliant young footballer, involved with them over the minor of the years, and 4 or 5 balls went into him all day kind of thing. And if that wasn't bad enough, he was marking Conor Morrison, who was dogging him then when the ball did come in. Like, so frustrating day for them. And, you know, you think back to some of the brilliant tussles we had with Ardra back in the day kind of thing, with the Dohertys, Damien Diver and these guys, and brilliant tough games that, you know, we didn't always come out on top anyway. I tell you, they got a few over on us. So it's disappointing for Ardra, so it is. But, you know, that's where it's at in, you know, the senior championship. If you're not at it, you will be put to the sword, and Eunice did that yesterday.
Yeah, and Gary, listen, myself and yourself was out at Glen yesterday. What has put Glen back on the front foot again? And we were joking off air about championships. Listen, they've had a great league. They've 3 from 3. You know, you're talking about half time. I would say, listen, Pádraig Bonner wouldn't have been happy just at half time, particularly the second half of the first half. But see, in general, as it going back to underage and it's promoting a new wave to join the core group that's there, Gary, would that be your feeling on what's putting Glen Swilly back up to the top of the table here?
No, definitely. You know, Brendan, without a shadow of a doubt, there's only 3 over 30 there at the minute. You have Copper and Keelan Kelly and Michael Murphy, might be only 3 boys over 30. Then there's a few around the, not too many around the mid-20 range, the likes of Mark Mackett here and Mark and fullback and Kevin Marty around the middle of the field, and the rest of them are practically under 21, so they are, you know, so there's lots of energy and lots of legs in the team. And suppose, you know, you're on about underage, like, you know, last year they won the under 21B quite comprehensively, probably should have been an A. Got to the last two minor finals the last 2 years, fell at the final hurdle, and we've managed to get a couple of players through from that. Now, you know, it is hard getting them through because it's such a step up now, Brent, from under 17 to senior. You know, probably the two that have nailed their spot down, I suppose Donald Gallagher, who was minor captain, Brent would know him well there, for Donegal Minors, and Dahi Gilday, the two of them. And Dahi was very good yesterday, you know, for an under 18 player to score 4 points. He really stood out, so he did, and he was, you know, him as kind of the young of the old, and Copper had 1-3 and and he had four, so he did. So like, it's a nice blend at the minute, you know, when it's going the right direction.
Gary, were you impressed with Dunlow? Like I've seen the days ago after, you know, that 4 points to nil down, you kind of thought it was going to be a tanking. You know, they outscored Glenswally 5-2 after that, and they actually played some good football. Like, they're all ballers there. You know, sometimes when we talk about this, you know, with rotating the ball and keeping the ball, and but Dunlow tried to play in the front foot, and they were missing a few players. They hit 10 wide, so, you know, even though Glenswally deserved to win the game and pulled away from them, there was certainly a lot of heart for Dunlow to take in that match.
Yeah, you know, it was probably the Glen's toughest game in the league was Dunlow at home, and they were looking over the line that day, and it was a super game in the league game. It was much better, actually, league game than it was the championship game yesterday. The quality probably was a bit better in that league game. Yesterday, probably, you know, Dunlow were down. Those men, like you mentioned, big Brian McLaughlin's son was suspended from the middle of the park, and Matthew Ward suspended from wing forward. And then Daniel Ward, if you remember, Ben, was ripping it up a couple of years ago. So he was for Dunlow. He just doesn't seem to have come back and followed that on. I was chatting to Dunlow people there yesterday, and they just said, you know, he hasn't got the form, has he, of recent years, because he was unbelievable that year. Now, if the three of them had been playing yesterday, it could have been a very much a different result, because I think our you know, Dunlow probably looking at that our boys were there for the taking yesterday, and you know, they could have got something. It was probably the first quarter, we were really good, we're 4-0 up, and the game was running away from Dunlow. It actually was running away from them, and I thought, unless they get something quick on the board here, you know, they're going to be, this game's going to be over come half time. But Vernison has shown super response. They actually have a very good athletic team. They're good athletic runners. They're physically strong. They'll be able to match a lot of teams. I'll tell you one thing, big teams wouldn't want to meet them in the knockout stages if they have their full hand available, because they are tricky. They're a tricky outfit, so they are, if they have everyone available. So they have, I think, you know, they're up and coming. I mean, they had a good, I think it was a minor under 16 side a couple of years ago, and I'll say the most of them are nearly through now. So they are, and they have them, and they just look at the makings of a good side, and Desi has them well drilled, you know, and he would have coached a lot of them boys underage, and it was nice to see the likes of Noel McBride come on yesterday. Some of the old guard still there, he came on early in the second half of them as well, so they've that bit of experience as well.
Certainly, but Bryn, most of the results of the weekend went the way they were supposed to, if you like. Aru again running away from home against Killy Beggs. Where are you putting them now, Brendan? I mean, the big game that they had, the one they did it against Gidor are promising a victory themselves against Clonhilly, and what was, you know, could have been a dicey encounter. They came out on top of it. But what's your reading of Aroa, Brendan, in terms of, like, being able to slug it out with the best?
Yeah, well, I think the big test for Aroa lie ahead, Brendan, kind of thing. You know, they've done really well in the championship. They've 3 wins on the board. They probably will make it 4 wins on the board. Who are they playing? They're playing Glenfinn, I think.
Yes.
And they'll be favourites to win that game too, Brendan, to put them right into the court, and they're at home.
Yeah.
And I think Father Tierney Park is due to open next weekend, from what I hear too. So they're answering all the questions that have been asked of them currently. But until they kind of, you know, come up against a St. Junans or an Ave Connell, and that we'll have a better idea where they are. But they'll be really happy. They've introduced a lot of young players into the team in the last few years, so they have. And, you know, Eamon McGrath is leading them from the centre of the park. He's a real big, strong, physical footballer. And you have Drummond, Philip Patton, these guys, Keen Rooney, all these guys that are napping in with scores regularly. Like said, Kyle Murray came into the team too as a defender. And, you know, they have a lot of quality footballers. So they have, and, you know, again, for Donegal, Aroa have been too long out of the big frame. So they have, and it's good to see them back in the big frame. We'd our run-ins with them too back in the day, Brendan, you know, but it's great to see them back in the frame. Donegal football needs all angles and all areas covered, kind of thing. And, you know, they'll be really happy with their progress. But as I say, I think the big tests lie ahead for them.
Yeah. You were going to mention 97 there, were you?
No, I wasn't going to bring it up at all.
Listen, of course, Gary, you stay out of this as well. Thanks very much. Gary, listen, another team that's quietly going about their business, Kilcare. You'd have to feel for St. Noel's now in the draw. They've had a real tough championship in terms of who they've had to meet. And, you know, Griffin is them well. Put together, they're hard to beat. They've been competitive in all the games. Of course, they're home to Killy Beggs now, a big opportunity for them. But Kilcare, you know, a lot of people were saying they're a bit outside of being in that people have put, obviously Unions and Niamh Connell a bit. But listen, they've done everything they've had to do so far, and certainly in having, you know, McBertie, you know, very fresh going into this championship, they are going to be dangerous.
You know, I suppose we're only touching St. Noel's first. As you said, they've been so unlucky in the draw. You know, when I was down last week in our game against the Glen, I was really impressed. And they've come on so much from where I saw them last year. Stephen Griffin has them really motoring nicely, and they're super well organised and very good physical condition. So they are, and you know, they probably have, I was saying to a couple of our boys after the game, they probably have 7 or 8 club players who are as good as anyone an our club team could put out in the county, you know. So they have some outstanding players. Again, obviously being led by Patter Morgan, he was just fantastic. So he was last weekend. Kilcar, Mr. Mark McHugh, I saw yesterday, apparently picked up a knock, so he did, and so he was out of goals. So it was something different for them, you know, to see how that went. So it'd be interesting now to see where Mark comes back in the final game, if he's fit for the final group game or not. Will they put him back in goals, or will they put him back out the field? I think they'll be quietly happy, because plenty of people saying that, you know, it's a top two now. It's Glenties, it's St. Unions, and, you know, and then there's a gap, you know, and that's going to suit them down to the ground. They'll be building nicely. And listen, we've heard Patrick McBertie all year about, you know, riding the wagon, circling the wagons for Donegal. You can imagine he's doing the same in Kilkenny. So he is, you know, because they'll not like that, you know.
Yeah.
Moved on without them. And it's probably a perfect place for them to come in now, you know, under the radar. And there's not too much focus on them. They're going to probably come through. And, you know, they're 3-3 so far. You know, you would think McCool's unfortunately have to play Wednesday night and play a game then on Saturday. Of course, that's the backlog game against Glenfinnan Wednesday night and play again Saturday. So everything's nearly fallen into place for Kilcar. And sometimes, Bren, years like that, there could start falling into place for you when our team's coming in, you know, with two games within the space of 3 or 4 days. So, yeah, you know, it's fun. Yeah. Nicely, but I'm nice. They'll be quietly confident.
Yeah, that's that rearranged game, 6:30 on Wednesday evening. Right. Yeah, Bren, just that on wee savvies and nets there for Glenn Swilly, Mark McHugh. Do you see that becoming a bigger thing now around what a keeper has to do? And while teams are sitting kind of deep, that keeper can be very... a huge advantage if he comes up the pitch. Savvy came out a couple of times there yesterday. It's a spare man. All you need is one guy to get inside and you're in. So in many ways it's a smart ploy, as long as you don't get caught out for goals, obviously. But it doesn't seem like there's ever that much needed. If they can handle kickouts and they can help the attack, it looks like it's a very much a plus.
Oh yeah, and you see, you're going to see more and more teams using it. Like, you know, the goalkeeping position has become the number one position maybe on the field. Mm. You know, and back in our day, it wasn't kind of thing. You know, it was kick the ball out and that was it. But it's so important now, the way teams are set up. Possession and keeping hold of possession is so important, and having that extra body out the field, as you say, does create an overload on one side and is given the opportunity. Now, there is a high risk with it too, from the point of view that, you know, teams are doing it because they see Niall Morgan, they see Rory Began doing it. And Niall Morgan and Rory Began, even their own Sean Penn, you know, they're really good footballers, they're really comfortable on the ball, they play a lot of their football outfield, so they're really comfortable in doing it. But like, you see the Kilcar experiment with it. Mark McHugh is a hugely intelligent footballer, so he is, and he'll be able to dictate a lot by getting in possession and playing that link man, being able to spread the ball about kind of thing. I'm getting a lot of possession, so he would be well used, and I would imagine, I think it's a good move for Kilcar, so it is.
Could you see a scenario, look at Ethan Rafferty for example, Ben, what if you had one of your better players playing that role, not somebody that maybe's coming to the end of career, and he then was coming as your spare man? Say he was a physically powerful runner, say like a Rafferty or one of your better club players. If he was the spare man, was coming at pace, nobody's obviously going to be marking him. Yeah. That'd be a very hard thing to stop if you committed to that, you know.
100%. And we're seeing more and more use of it. Ethan Rafferty was a name I didn't mention. Like, he's the most, probably the biggest example that's out there, like, because he's such a brilliant footballer and so comfortable, played all his football out the field. And to be fair to McGeaney, you know, he touted this. He was probably the first that touted it, kind of thing. because the other guys were goalkeepers, whereas Ethan Rafferty was an outfield player, like, and he's brilliant at it. And that's what I think, it'll make a huge difference, so it will. And it is becoming a 15 out the field, suddenly a 15 against 14 when you're in possession, and gaps, as you say, Brendan, will open up, and it'll create opportunities for other players because they're going to get defenders drawn to the man, to the keeper in possession, if he is driving into them areas. So it's certainly something that's going to be a big feature of the game for the next few years, you would imagine.
Yeah, and where would you stand in that, Gary, being the tactics coach that you are? Would you ever think about that, Gary, a tactic of having a real strong runner coming from deep to break the line, and someone who could put the ball over the bar? Would that be something you would consider?
Yeah, listen, it's a brilliant idea, Brendan. I like it, but then are you robbing Peter to pay Paul?
Yeah.
You know?
I'm not asking really, us to put Michael Murphy in nets or anything.
I'll let you put that question in and see what the response you get.
Yeah, certainly. And just one, and Michael, yesterday, I suppose, first half wasn't in the game, you know, second half comes out, and very simply for him, just changed the whole course of that match. So I suppose using the right players in the right places is the key, and that's just another wee factor you could, a wee tactic you could impose on a team, Gary.
When you mention Michael, you know, he's always going to take the best marker from the opposition, so it opens up space somewhere else, and never mind the best marker, sometimes two and three markers he takes with him, you know, and he's playing ball long enough now, he knows, you know, when he's being double-teamed and triple-teamed, he'll just move, like you said, out around the middle and take those boys with him to open up space for other people elsewhere. It's what all the top players do, you know, and it's just learning that comes with the game, and he's plenty of experience now, the length of time he's been around.
Yeah, yes indeed. And Brendan, listen, people are always criticising different things in sport. You know, we often hear the criticism above any. I suppose you have to commend the fixtures committee, the CCC, for changing this up, Brendan, because we've had group stages where the last game is, as we keep saying, a bit of a dead rummer. Teams know they're qualified. You know, we're going into this final group of round four, and everybody has something to play for. It's a very, very interesting way that they've changed it. We should commend them. You know, we even got through the draw. Yesterday we were joking about Frankie, the night or the six. But listen, it's made things very interesting, the tweaks and that. I suppose we have to say fair play to them for having that insight to do that.
Definitely, and you know, we're very apathetic at times, so we are, you know, and we like to give out about things, so we do, Brendan. But like, as you say, everything is to play for next weekend. The four top spots aren't guaranteed, the four bottom spots aren't. And interestingly, at the bottom two, they're playing each other. You have Airdrie against Milford, and you have St. Noel's against Killybegs. So it's going to create for a cracking weekend of football this weekend. Everything is to play for, and every team has something on the line. And I suppose that's what you want in Championship football. You want that bit of jeopardy, that it's all on the line, and it's when, you know, that you have to really go at it. And we're certainly going to get that next weekend. There'll be a couple of teams, you know, that draw that was played out down Davy Brennan Park there a couple of weeks ago between St. Junan's and Niamh Connell is going to cost one of them dearly. You would expect, you know, Unions are going in next weekend against St. Michael's. They've had some tough games down the bridge over the years, Brendan. You never get anything down there. Yeah. But this is a different St. Michael's team. So they've lost, obviously, Michael Langan, their tallies man. So he's going to be a huge loss. And then, obviously, you have the game of the weekend, which Glenswilly and Niamh Connell is going to be a massive kind of thing, you know. And we know that they've had some titanic battles down over the last couple of years, too. And, you know, I think they played twice last year, a draw and narrow victory for Niamh Connell. So it's really, really good that it is going into the last weekend, and that there's going to be questions asked of every team, and every team has something to play for and something to look forward, and you're going to training this week, and you know that you got to do, and you got to go out and perform at the weekend.
Listen, I agree, Ben. It's a fascinating running. Gary, that last game, what's the word out in Glenswilly after that draw? Did you play in Niamh Connell? In many ways, Gary, it's a great game in terms of, say, from a Glenswilly perspective, to really test yourselves against, you know, a team that's been the most successful in Donegal this last, you know, six odd years, you know, to really, I suppose, put your championship credentials on the line. Because as Sandy Park, Bona, I think we talked about the good and the bad in yesterday's performance, but in many ways, there'll have to be a good full, you know, 65 odd minutes in this if you're going to overturn Niamh Connell.
Yeah, you know, sometimes that kind of happens, you know, Brendan, games. Probably the last three games our boys got, they were nearly expected to win them, you know, and sometimes that can creep in, and you nearly thought that was maybe part of yesterday when it came down to, you know, they were expecting to win that game. And whereas next week, you know, Glenridge will be raging hot favourites going into that game, and So you would think our boys' tails would be up as a result, you know, going into this, they'll be kind of written off. And, you know, as you said, you're 100% right, they're going to have to bring a 60-minute performance to be competitive during that game, because we saw Unions and Glenties in the round two. I mean, a lot of people said Unions have the game won at half-time, been up by 5 points, but you can never, Glenties, as always, you can never write them off. They came back the second half, you know, with... They probably left that day, the happier team, thinking, you know, we played nothing today and we still didn't get beat, you know. So I think, you know, they're building nicely, building slowly, building nicely. They won't be too happy, I'm sure, with the draws. They've had Unions, and, you know, and the likes of ourselves in their four games, where maybe other teams have had it a bit handier. So I think they had it tough enough last year in the group stages as well. But listen, they're battle-hardened and they're well used to it. And just to go back to your point, the CCC, I think it's brilliant, you know, and they do deserve that pat on the back, you know, they get criticism now and again, but the way it's gone into the last round now, there's no dead rubbers, because 9th, 10th, 11th and 12th are all still in it. They're going through the preliminary quarterfinals. And if you think of the All-Ireland series gone by, it was the same idea. And those preliminary quarterfinals are probably some of the best games, Brendan, along with the final round of the group games. So exciting times ahead for all GA supporters in Donegal between this weekend. The only problem is they have to be all on to one time this weekend, because you can't let the score difference, etc., come into it. So the only problem is you can only get to one game this weekend, but I think with the intermediate dinner on Sunday, so they're doing the same phone game on at the same time. But brilliant idea, and probably the big followers, Brendan, at the minute in the senior championship, you know, not many people have mentioned it, is St. Michael's are looking like they're going to be in the bottom four. They're sitting there at the minute with 1 point from three games, and they have St. Junan's, you know, one of the top two teams in the county this weekend. So most people are going to expect St. Junan's to win that game. And St. Michael's could be looking likely Brendan, staring relegation playoff semi-final in the face.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Of course, the bottom four playing that relegation playoff, the next eight playing that prelim quarter final to get into the quarters, and the top four sit in there in wait. But it's an open draw then when that quarter final, which again is going to give us a couple of very interesting games coming down the tracks. Brendan, one of particular, I think, interest is the derby there, Gidor and Dunloe, because as Gary was saying, Dunloe sitting on 2 points there. They could get pulled into something technically, and Gidor will want to try and get into that initial quarter final. So just have one defeat another derby match. And listen, McNeely's doing his best there. He's a lot of hurdles this year, players away, and but he certainly seems like he's stabilised and is getting the most from what he has.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I saw them play their first game down there in Marigallen, and I actually thought they played well. I thought this is Gidor looked to be back here, back a bit of groove. And, you know, they went out the next day then and they're beaten by Eirua. So it's just getting the consistency from Gidor that's going to be the problem. And it has been over the last couple of years. Like, we all know that Gidor are capable of going out and beating any team on a given day, but it's about getting the, you know, doing it consistently on a week-to-week basis, and that seems to be where they're struggling. But they are coming back stronger. Michal Carroll is back now playing regular starting games, and, you know, there's some real quality all over the field. And, you know, we know the tradition and the heritage that Gidor have. Like, when it comes to knockout football, that they are going to be there, that you're going to have to, you know, they're a queer detail and they'll take some taken down. So it's going to be, you know, themselves again, a local derby against Clohanealy yesterday, the next one against Dunloe. You would expect them to have too much for Dunloe. But going to Dunloe, I think Dunloe are at home in that one, all right, in saying that, Brendan?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a real tough down in Dunloe. Anyway, you know, you go down to Dunloe, it's a real tough place to get away. Tight pitch, so it is. So you would expect it to be fire. There's no love lost down through the years, going back 100 years between Dunloe and Gidor, so there isn't. So you would expect it to be a cracking encounter. I would just think that there's more quality in the Gidor setup that they would probably sneak through, kind of thing, you know. But by all accounts, they'll be asked a lot of questions, so they will.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Gary, just, you know, the overall picture in this, you know, for years there, we were talking about the top four and being unbeatable. In terms of how you see it there now, there doesn't seem to be anybody in this year's championship is like looking like they're any way ahead of three or four other teams. You know, it's certainly interesting. It's great to see the likes of Eirua pushing up in there to have a go, but there seems to be, you know, at least in the round that top five there, five, six, that you've got teams that certainly will think they can take each other out, which wasn't the case for years. It was very much, the top four were doing it. You know, say Glenswell, they've pushed in there now, so have Rua. And there's a lot of other sides getting their act together. It's just there is a bit of a chase going on from the other sides. But certainly, you know, your own club and Ayrua have now pushed into to contention. And as we were saying there, Gary, just that ability to be able to compete, which we talked at the top of the show, Ardra wasn't that yesterday. You know that those sides, they'll all give each other a game, which is promising, I suppose, for the championship as it goes on, because there's nothing worse than it kind of being set who's going to be in the final shake-up.
Yeah, you know, actually the fixtures are really exciting this weekend. That's why I'm ripping. We can only get the one. Like, St. Noel's and Killybegs. Like, whoever wins that brand is going to more likely get out of relegation than you would nearly expect. St. Noel's of home advantage and a local derby. Like, they're knocking ahead of each other. McCool's, Kilcar, then. McCool's, if they won on Friday or Wednesday night against Glenfinnan, they're in 4 points. You know, and Oisin Gallen and the likes, they have their tails up, but they could be a force for Kilcar on Saturday evening as well. You know, they'll be looking at themselves and this morning, we can finish here in 6 points. You know, we talked about St. Michael's, Clonmacnoise and Four Masters. The Clonmacnoise are in 2 points, Four Masters are in 3 points. Probably Four Masters absolutely delighted them. And, you know, they probably were looking to stay out of the bottom four. They've already achieved that. Clonmacnoise could still get sucked into it if they don't get a result at the weekend. So it's going to be another cracker of a game there. You know, Quidore, probably they lost to Rua. You know, I looked at Dunloe yesterday, and as I said to you, I would not want to meet them in the knockout stages. None of those big teams would want to meet them. And they have the three boys back next weekend that were missing yesterday, and they didn't pick up any more knocks or injuries. They will give Quidore their full of it at the weekend, you know, and they'll be looking, and we can get ourselves under 4 points. That's us. We're safe. We're out of bother, and we're into the prelims then after that, you know. Another huge game is probably Ardra and Mulford at the weekend. Both teams down at the bottom end as well. Ardra have home advantage. And that'll nearly you would think get them out of bother at the moment. They're sitting on 2 points. You know, I think you're going to end up with teams at the bottom there on 2 points. Some of them are going to be end up in the relegation playoff. Some of them are going to make the preliminary based on score difference. So, Brendan, score difference could be huge this weekend as well.
Yeah. It's all going to come down to the crunch. You need to be in studio there, Gary, tracking everything and working out mathematical equations for us, putting that teacher knowledge to good use.
I'll leave Oisin Kelly, though. That's
all happening 5:30. Exciting Saturday coming up for definite there. Just shooting across the Intermediate Championship. Tiernan, top of the pile, sitting on 6 points, perfect record. Buncrana and Mallon tucked in behind them in five each, along with Red Hughes. Leave Columba on four, Downings on four, Fannett on two. Leave Wirra on two, Bundoran on two, Letterkenny Gales with a point, and Burt and Leave Breed yet to pick up a victory. Tiernan, Brendan, they dropped down. They're certainly making big noises in the intermediate. You know, they've had a couple of cracking performances there, and they seem to be building up a real head of steam in the intermediate.
Yeah, motoring along really nicely, Brendan. You look, you know, Keelan McDade came in, took over the reins there, and is doing a really, really good job. You know, the young manager should still be playing, only injury stopped him. And you know, you go through the Tiernan team, there's an awful lot of young talent, and it probably worked in their favour dropping down to intermediate. They can get a bit of a buzz about the place, start winning games, and that makes creating a happy dressing room and a vibrant dressing room is hugely important to create momentum. And you have to say the Tiernan have a lot of that now, and they've by no means a lot of good footballers too, so they have throughout the side. And you know, a lot of footballers that we'll be seeing a lot of for a few years to come. Of course, up front they have Keelan's brother, Derek McDade, who's shooting the lights out and seems to be in really good form, had his own injury troubles down through the years. And you know, they've threats all over the field because they're athletic and they're pacey and they're strong. The only thing is they're very young. You know, you're looking at Ricky Gallagher, Darren McDade, and Nathan McIlwain is a brilliant acquisition to get back. You know, he was in London there for the year, played with London, got a lot of experience, played National League with London. But getting him back, I think, is a key for him because, you know, anytime I've seen Nathan play, he really, you know, he's a full-hearted, full-blooded player, so he is. And even having that little of experience to introduce back into your full back line is massive for them. So they're going to take a good team to beat Tiernan. They're vibrant out there. They're on the crest of a wave. Can they keep that going is the question.
Yeah. Gary, where do you lie on that? You look, everybody wants to play in the senior championship, obviously, but listen, you've both coached teams to win championships. If you were a lower, like the side saying our own senior that haven't won a game, would you rather be competing in the intermediate to win the competition, or you know, you're on about the buzz Brendan was saying there and going and won something that you're able to compete in. And there's a few sides there are really struggling to compete in their championship at the minute. Where would you lay in that? Would you say, listen, if we could be senior, you have to be senior? Or would you be better winning an intermediate cup?
It's wild hard, Brendan, wild hard question. You know, I'll look at it both sides. It's a huge carrot to be a senior club. It's a lot easier, maybe underage selling the senior teams to the young fellas. It's a lot easier, Brendan, if you have boys at college in Galway, Dublin, Belfast, etc. If you have boys working in those cities, it's a lot easier to get them home if you're playing senior, you know, that you have that thing that we're a senior club. And that mentality and that proudness goes with it. And then, listen, when you're away working in college and those places, it carries a lot of weight when they ask you where you're from and, you know, are you senior or are you intermediate? It carries a lot of weight. So it's a big pride that way. And I totally get them to flip it around the other side. But, you know, Kevin probably hung around the trap door there for a few years. And as the man says, if you hang around long enough, you'll eventually go through it. And that's what happened. They eventually did go through it. But they won a minor championship a few years ago there. A lot of that team have come through now. Ryan McFadden, since because he's come back from America, apparently yesterday was outstanding. So he was a real driving force for them. And you expect him, you know, he was in and around the Donegal panel there. So he was, of course, having played under 20s. You expect, you know, him, Jim McGuinness, to have the likes of him heavily involved in the team this year going forward. We're lucky, you know, in that sense that we have plenty of athletically rangy players that are able to play around that midfield / half forward area, that middle five area. He falls into that category as well. You know, the intermediate thing then as well, they've picked up huge momentum at the minute. They're winning games. You know, they're probably, it was a kick in the teeth to them last year. A lot of people expect them to come straight back up, Dunlow beat them in that semi-final. You know, now I haven't seen Terman play this year, but I was talking to a few people this morning and they were saying, listen, they were playing with a high press, lots of energy, lots of legs in the team, and they're playing with that high squeeze. So they are maybe not something they would have done over the years. I mean, against Dunlow last year, I think a lot of people were talking about, I didn't see that game. There were a lot of men behind the ball and could see the kickouts and that. I don't think they did any of that this year. So it's very much maybe suits them more because they have so much youth in the team to play a more forward advancement game, a more high-pressure game on the opposition. And listen, you'll probably get away with that a bit more at intermediate if you feel that you have the energy and the legs on the opposition. And, you know, when you're pressing high and pressing hard, you might be punished as much, Brendan, for mistakes high up the field, whereas in senior, sometimes if you lose the ball, a lot of time can end up in the back of the net.
Yeah, and Gary Mallard came late against Buncrana last week to get a draw, and he came late again to beat Niamh Wara at the weekend. Is that the way you're looking at Termon, Buncrana, Mallon, Red Hughes, the teams at the top? You know, Niamh Clonmel, a huge one at the weekend as well, hitting 7 goals and 12 points.
Goal fest, wasn't it?
Yeah, goal fest. Those sides are pushing up. They're looking a bit stronger than the other.
Yeah, like you'd expect Termon to nearly get through this weekend as maybe the top seed. You know, they're away to Fannin. Fannin have been unlucky in the draw as well, so they have. I mean, they were excellent at the weekend as well. I think they're going down the home straight, they only lost the game. And then, suppose, you know, after that there, you're looking at Buncrana this weekend. They have Niamh Wara away. Won't be easy, but you still expect them to be getting over there and finishing in the top four as well. Probably Mallon, you know, at the weekend now, you know, as you said, they've been scraping over the line the last couple of games, and they've Red Hughes third and fourth in the table this weekend away to Red Hughes. Mallon playing Division 1, okay, higher up than Red Hughes in Division 2, or the lower end of Division 2. You expect Mallon will have enough this weekend for them. So you need it. There's nearly your kind of top four sorted now. Niamh Clonmel, you think it's nearly between them then and Downey to see who will come in. And of course, the two of them are playing this weekend, Brent. Yeah. What a cracker that's going to be out in Glenconkill. That's nearly to decide who gets the fourth place, because it's, you know, it's first V8, second V7, and so on. So the higher up you finish, there's a bit of a carrot there. The two of them could possibly maybe even end up playing each other again then in the quarterfinals if they end up in a fourth and fifth situation. Because at the minute, as the table stands at the moment, they're lying beside each other, so they are. Mm-hmm. At the lower end, you know, Niamh Breeder, no points. Burt, Letterkenny Gales are in one, and both of them are playing this weekend, Burt and Letterkenny Gales. So whoever won that, you know, if, especially if Larrikin Gael's won, they'll go on 3 points and they'll probably get themselves out of problem, out of the relegation area. And Burke, you're looking at them, you know, they'll be mad thrown. They're very unlucky here at the weekend as well, only lost by a point, and they've lost a couple of key players to injury, the likes of Sean McHugh, who'd been up with Donegal panel for a few years. He's their centre half forward, probably their best forward. They've lost him at the minute. I think they've lost one of the midfielders as well here. And Bundoran's probably the surprise package. Brendan only came down from senior, and they're in the relegation zone going into the last weekend. They're in the bottom four, but they have a favourable fixture at Neath Breed, so you would expect them to get out of trouble and make the top eight.
Yes, indeed. Brilliant stuff, Gary. That's a nice wee round-up. It's just on the junior championship, obviously, wins for St Mary's. Convoy going very well there. Also, Neve Connell C team going well. Strength to strength. Cairn Donagh last year's beaten finalist, losing again. But Narasa, we talk about Goldfest, 7-12, Neve Columba. Narasa had to outdo them, 9-17 to Neve Patrick Livers 3-5, and Narasa certainly building up ahead of steam, lads. But we are out of time for this evening. Thanks very much, Gary McDade, as ever, Brenda Kilcoyne, for wrapping up the championships. We'll be back next week for the Super Saturday show on the Monday to round up all the action, lads, and I'll be seeing you out and about.
Thanks, Brendan.
All right, Brendan.
Sound, lads. Great stuff from the boys there, round it all up. And now, as I said at the top of the show, I'm going to talk with Irish News columnist Neil Loughran. Neil, how are you this evening?
Not too bad. How are you, Brent? You keeping well?
Yeah, enjoying the summer sun now. There's been a nice lift the championship. There's loads of action happening here in Donegal the weekend. It was great to get that bit of sunshine after the depression of the summer we had.
Oh my God. It's been unbelievable.
It's full scale here at the minute. And you have a lot of stuff to keep up with. Listen, the paper as ever.
Gives
such a brilliant breakdown. I often look at that, you know, sometimes I'm thinking to myself, I'm trying to keep up with mostly all Donegal stuff.
And I know.
Then guys like yourselves between the different sports and the different counties.
Aye. Some crackling. It is. I know your head would be in a million different places sometimes.
Yeah, I'd say that. Neil, I was talking to Aaron Kieran yesterday evening just about Armagh and about the way their championship is, for example, but the way we had a bit of a league there running under the championship, and the league games were more or less irrelevant, but they're relevant there in terms of their championship. It's an interesting way, I suppose. Everyone has different ways. The Tyrone one hasn't even started yet. That's going to be knockout. So it's very interesting how the different counties have looked at it. We've changed ours up this year because the groups could be kind of, you know, the dead rubber games at the end. So going into our last round of group fours, everybody has something to play for. So I suppose it's an evolution of things, but it's interesting the different dynamic in the different counties.
It is, and probably everybody's looking, you know, constantly reviewing that, Brendan, as well, to see what the best way is. Like down, like I'm from down, and the system here has changed a few times through the years at the minute. I quite like the system, but not everybody does. It's sort of like a, you know, the backdoor system where, you know, they go into like a loser's pot and a winner's pot sort of thing. But at least it kind of gives that sense of you know, urgency, or, you know, it feels like there's something at stake. I suppose people's concerns sometimes with some of the county setups at the minute is that they're just dragging on too long with maybe, you know, not enough kind of jeopardy. Whereas everybody, like, and I guess that's why everybody loves the Tyrone setup and why that knockout championship works so well, because there's so much on the line every time. Whereas, you know, I suppose you look at the Derrys and stuff like, and the group system and Antrim and that, and it goes on quite a while before sometimes you maybe get to that stage where it really has that championship feel, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Definitely need. Neil, just on that, obviously we've an interest in all the championships, and particularly, you know, you mentioned the likes of Kilcoo, big victory at the weekend there. And of course, we have further interest with them with Carrie Lacey being in there. Quite an appointment. I was looking at the round trip of that. It's some span from Donegal Town to Kilcoo there. So how you figure all that out? I don't know, is he staying up any nights, Neil? Have you heard anything?
No, from what I've heard, he's there a couple of nights a week, training, like, you know, through the league, it was Aidan Brannigan who was mostly doing, you know, who was kind of the guy on the line alongside Carl Lacey. And I think Aidan retired at the end of last season, then came back. He retired at the end of the season just passed, and he has come back, and I think he has decided that he'll maybe give it another crack on the playing front. You know, Aidan must be maybe 37, 38 now, I'm not sure, but he's decided to give another go. So Carl's ended up as, I think it was a bit of a surprise still to some people, like when the programme came out last Monday night ahead of the game we carried off, that he was named as manager, because that wasn't the understanding anyway, you know, that was the case. But the, you know, I think what you find with a lot of the managers who go in there with Kilku, Brendan, and I noticed that Carl said the same after the Carrie Duff game last week, and Conleth Gilligan would have said it to a degree, Mickey Moran. But those players, a lot of them have been together for so long that they're not so much self-managed, but they're just so comfortable with what they're doing and with their style of play and their system. And even this year, you know, there's quite a few younger guys who've come through, but you can just see that system that they're obviously using through underage level and stuff, it's almost like they just slot in, like it's like a bit of a conveyor belt. So like from Carl Lacey's point of view, I suppose like it's a, if you're stepping in to manage a club side, like, you know, Kilku's a decent place to go at the minute, because they're just, you know, obviously they've had such a run of success, but they just know, they're just so comfortable with what they're doing all the time.
It's interesting you say that, Neil, because my taking from last year, whenever there was a potential that Carl and Rory Cadler were going to take the Donegal job, it seemed very much that Rory would be the manager and Carl would be the coach. Mm-hmm. So when that came out, that news about being the manager, I always felt it looked like himself that he thought it was more a kind of coaching role. But there, then, that would fit perfectly, because as you say, he's joining a bunch that just want that bit extra from someone else, that they know what to do, and that role would be perfect for him, yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be the crack. Like, you know, because as I say, Conleth Gilligan would have said that a lot last year. You know, really, sometimes it's just a new voice, or, you know, a different voice, or maybe a different look at things that's sometimes required. But when you have a group, you know, with so much experience and, you know, who've been there and done it, I suppose there's only so much that, somebody come, you know, like again, like a Mickey Moran figure, obviously, who, you know, had a different kind of a status, I suppose, but there's only so much that people can do whenever a team and a group like that just knows so well the way they're going. So I think that was the idea with Carl. Like, you know, I think the plan, a bit like what you're saying with Rory Cavanagh last year, was, you know, primarily on a coaching basis. Like, I think that has been the case.
Yeah. Interesting. We'll be looking across to see how that all materializes. Speaking of the powers of Ulster, if we shoot across to our neighbours in Derry, here, Neil, Glenn again, are, building up a bit of a head of steam going into the latter stages of their group championships. Mara Felt heading the other group. We're all looking to see what slot Neil will come back with. They're just tucked down in third place, actually, in Group B. Are they still those three teams? Those are teams in Derry, you might be thinking, they're kind of a small bit ahead of the rest?
Well, I think so. And I think Glenn, when you look at it, I mean, Glenn are still very much the preeminent force in Ulster. Like, I know we've talked about Kilku there, but, you know, Glenn, whenever you think of the players that they've had who have come through, even in the last number of years, and again, I'm talking about Kilku there, and a team that's comfortable in their own skin. Glenn, you know, getting over the line in Derry was obviously a huge step for them. Defending that title, even bigger. And then last year going on to win Ulster, it's been like a lot of people, you know, had looked at it as like almost like an overnight success, but it obviously isn't. They're seeing the fruits of that. You're right. Like, you know, Slot Neil, they've Mark Doran in there now, who was, you know, was a coach with Down a few years ago and was with Clare this year as well, and won the Monaghan title with Ballybay last year. Again, similar with a lot of these teams, Brent, you know, he's gone in there, but you look at that Slot Neil team, and like so many of them have been there for so long, you know, that again, I hate using that term self-managed, but, you know, there's just teams that just kind of, you know, have that core of knowing what they have to do. And they're definitely among them. I suppose the surprise in Derry is that, you know, to a degree, is that, you know, Ballinderry were eliminated in the first round for the first time since 1978. They can't go through, as it turns out. So, but, you know, Mara Feld, again, we know the talent that they have with the likes of Conor McCluskey there, you know, so I think that, you know, you're really still looking at Glenn Marifelt and Slot Neil, and I suppose the likes of Balahi and stuff. We'll think, you know, we'll feel that they have a safe spot. Give Glenn a really good game earlier in the year as well. So, you know, it's competitive, but again, still, you know, we're sort of waiting for it to really take off, I suppose.
Yeah, great buzz in Derry, of course, at the minute, all things considered, in terms of the turnaround. The county just seems on the up and up, and remains to be seen whether that was a chance they'll ever get back to at County Lane, that position. Absolutely. In that semi-final. You mentioned actually Ballybay, last year's champions. It's all gone wrong for them this season in Monaghan, Neil. It's the turnaround.
It is. It's shocking, actually. You know, again, I mentioned Ballinderry there, but like, you know, Ballybay had waited, I think it was 10 years, like, and they had sort of been the bridesmaids for so long to Scotstown, and they finally got over the line, beat Cross and Ulster, and they come up against Kilcoo as well, you know, but it just hasn't happened for them this year, which again, whenever you look at the talent, I suppose you wonder, so many of those guys were involved with Monaghan deep into the year, and you wondered, did that take a toll? Obviously, the new manager with Shawnee Johnson getting there. But definitely, you know, it didn't work out for them. But there's still a few, you know, interesting storylines in Monaghan. Like, you know, this weekend, John McEntee, who won the Monaghan title with Clontibret back in 2019, he's coming up against Clontibret this weekend with Enniskeen. And they can guarantee
that. Tony Kiernan's on them too, Neil, is he?
That's right. So a real cross connection there, like, you know, and they're looking to get the nail down top spot in Group 2. But again, you know, like, all eyes are going to be on Scotstown now, realistically. They'll have been bitten a bit by what happened last year. So again, as I mentioned with Ballybay, so many of their players involved in Monaghan's run to the All-Ireland semi-final this year. So, you know, Mullen's always worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah, certainly, indeed. Of course, the Tyrone men, they have this knockout championship, Neil, which you're on about the way the group stages go in that, and we've been very jealous of it. Of course, that means that your season could be over very quickly, but their league football seems to be on a certain step. There just seems to be some, like, such a love of the club championship there. And even though they've never had teams that seem to do well in Ulster as such, their own championship just seems to be the standout one. It's not for a couple of weeks, it's the 20th, I think it's kicking off.
That's right, yeah. But you're right, like, it's the one, it's nearly like, you know, saving the, because while everybody else is up and running, like a lot of them from near enough the start of August or middle of August, and Tyrone, obviously, Tyrone being Tyrone, has to be different. Like,
they'll do it their way. Yeah.
They'll do it their way. We'll hold fire for 6 or 7 weeks and play out the league. Like, and the, you know, they love the league as well in Tyrone. Like, you know, whereas again, in a lot of counties, it's kind of just, you know, it really has no kind of prestige. Whereas in Tyrone, it does. And you can see that at the weekend, even like, you know, you know, Niall Morgan kicking flipping 63rd minute winner for Eden Dork, you know, keep them safe and stuff. You know, there's always that bit of drama and intrigue with Tyrone, but it'll all build up towards the 20th of September. As you said, I remember reading a stat last year. When was the last time that there was like a back-to-back winner in Tyrone? It's been a while, you know, like it's a good while. Maybe Argyll Kieran in the noughties sometime. I can't remember exactly, but you know, whenever we're talking about, obviously, like the Kilcoos, who've won like 10 out of the last 11 and down, and Glenn are starting to dominate. Slot Neil had their period of domination. But, you know, you look at Tyrone, and there's just never anybody who kind of takes the, you know, who is constantly there for a set period of time. And probably from an Ulster perspective, what you're saying is right. You nearly need that continuity. Like Kilcoo struggled in Ulster the first couple of years they went in. But eventually, you know, they started to find a feat and obviously ended up being Ulster champions. And I think you need that. Whereas every time a Tyrone County goes in, there's almost like this feeling that like they're so battered and bruised coming out of their own county that like, you know, it's how do you bridge that gap? Because like, I mean, Errigal give Glenn their fill of it last year, you know, and they could well be in a different outcome on the day, like, you know, but there's no guarantee that Errigal will be still standing by the time the Ulster Championship comes around this year, and that's just the beauty of Tyrone. That's why we love it.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for it. It's hard to get that thing. We used to have a home and away, and then a third game. You know, start to the championship, and there's quite a few times I've been at group games in Donegal. Just thought to myself, do you know what? How could this be better than that? you know, in terms of, but listen, the balance, and as I say, we've been tweaking it here in Donegal, trying to get it right. Neil, just look at Cavan there. Gowna, last year's champions, after a great start there, Crusher Law, Kelly Garvey, Kingscourt, they're all coming with 3 wins from three at the start of their championship, and the former greats of Cavan Gales and that, Langmachine, well down. But there's a few sides in Cavan there, club sides getting their act together, and always a danger going into Ulster also.
Yeah, and we're talking about, like, seriously competitive kind of championships and counties where there's a real kind of sense of prestige with the championship, and Cavan is obviously one of them. You know, Castlerahan, now they need to beat Crusher Lough to have any chance of staying alive. You know, Castlerahan were champions not so long ago. So this is, yeah, we're heading in the last weekend of the group stage, and after this, the top eight from the 12 team group will all head in the quarterfinals, first v eighth and second versus seventh, etc. So, you know, it's very, very competitive. And, you know, there's no, you mentioned, like, you know, some of the kind of teams that, you know, you would associate with Cavan club football has maybe fallen down the pecking order, but that's just the way it has tended to be the last couple of years. You know, you've had, like, Crusher Lough have been, you know, and the likes of Ramor United and stuff have come on the last couple of years and made their mark. Again, whenever it comes to Ulster, they probably have struggled actually in the last number of years. You know, whereas you think, you know, back in the day, Cavan, you would have always kind of had a fear of coming up against the Cavan club, but they've maybe just not made that mark. I don't know if they've maybe fallen slightly backwards in that sense, because they've really not kicked on whenever they've gone into Ulster for whatever reason. But again, maybe it's a bit back to what we're saying about Tyrone there, where because you're not building up, no clubs are necessarily building up that kind of bank of experience of coming up against, you know, the bigger club, you know, the Cross McGlenns or the Kilcoos or the Slotneys, whoever. You do need that. Like, there's no doubt about it. So it's a very hard gap to bridge, I think, whenever, you know, it's probably getting harder, I think, to bridge that gap when you go into Ulster now, unless you have that bit of continuity and that bit of experience of being there.
Yeah, experience counts, Neil. And listen, first class, you, thanks for scooting across the province there for us and getting us all updated here in Donegal. Neil, and listen, we'll give you a holler here in the future as the championships go on for a wee roundup, if that's okay.
Great to talk to you, Brenton. Yes, good
keep
stuff.
Keep up the good work. At Irish News there, Neil. Great stuff. Catch it, particularly every Monday. It's great for us analysts. They give us all the information. Neil Loughran there. Always great to talk to him. Folks, that's the show wrapped up this evening. Thanks so much for listening. I want to thank Kenneth Wilson for producing and keeping me right. Head of Sport, Oisin Kelly. Stay tuned for the Monday night sessions coming up now. I'll speak to you all next week.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen.